Well, it is good to see so many people here today. Welcome to our guests. In Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about something that is very relevant to this season of the year. And with the focus that we have, it's very easy to overlook what this is talking about. But Hebrews 6 lays out some basics. It gives us the six fundamental doctrines of Christ. But it begins with a very different approach than what we might think. It says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection. Now, what that tells us, there's more than just understanding basic doctrines. That's a platform, perhaps, but it is certainly not the objective of and by itself. In this season of the year, even though it's called the Days of Unleavened Bread, our focus typically is on leaven. How many of us haven't thought about leaven in the lead up to these days? We go through the exercise of ridding ourselves of leaven. And I'm going to say something that might be surprising, but that's the easy part. We may not think so, but putting out leaven is the easy part. When we have a major preoccupation with leaven, it can distract us from the real point of it all. When we go through the exercise of de-leavening our homes, as the scriptures say, we realize, rather pointedly, about the difficulty in getting rid of all the leaven. We realize it's everywhere. Places you never would think. You read ingredients and you say, boy, I didn't know there was leaven in that. Or we find it in places that we never would have expected. The side lesson of these days is the realization that we can never make ourselves fully unleavened. And maybe that's the point that we need to get more than anything else, more than doing a perfect job. And maybe occasionally we do a perfect job by whatever means, extreme diligence, going through everything. When I was first doing this, I used to go through every pocket in the clothes hanging in my closet, just in case there was something in there. I mean, and you got to remember to shake out the vacuum cleaner bag. Sometimes we forget the obvious. Peanut butter jars full of leaven from previous times. We've how thorough can we be? And how much does it matter, really, if we miss the point? These days are not the feast of de-leavening, although a lot of times that's what we think about the most, with too little regard on the flip side of it all. Because what these days are the days of unleavened bread. We are to eat unleavened bread. That is just as important as the other activity. De-leavening is a teaching experience, and it doesn't mean we can rid ourselves of our own sins. But the days of unleavened bread are the days in which we take in the unleavened nature of Christ. And the issue with it all is going on to perfection. How much of our focus draws in that particular consideration? depending on where we are spiritually, sometimes de-leavening can overwhelm our consideration of taking in leavening. The greater issue with all of this is a consciousness of our sinning. Not just having sinned, but the fact that we continually sin. When we deal with leaven, we begin to understand the nature of leaven. Leaven invades, even on its own. If you leave bread dough out for any length of time, leaven in the air will begin to work. Leaven invades and it pervades. It grows from one lump to another. Even when we're not paying attention sometimes, leavenedness can sneak in. The days of unleavened bread offer a basic set of physical instructions. But in it all, within all of that, there are subtle spiritual lessons that are important for each of us to learn as we progress in gaining Christ-likeness in us. That's the unleavened part that we are to take in, which is equal to and perhaps even more important than getting the leaven out. Let's read a few of the basic instructions about these days. I'll take the time to do this because my notes are very short today. You're probably glad to hear that. Exodus 12, verses 15 to 20. God gave instructions to his people of what they were to do with these days. Exodus 12:15. It says, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. That's pretty drastic. To be thrown out of your nation just because you ate some leavened bread. But that's not the real point. And in the first day there shall be a holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be a holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat. That only may be done of you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall you observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. This is ongoing. Why? Why would it need to be done forever? Because God is working to call people forever. He hasn't stopped. It's an ongoing process. And we're to continue doing it. Over a chapter in Exodus 13, verses 3 and 7. And Moses said unto the people, remember this day in which you came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. He's drawing in here more of the picture. It isn't just a matter of leavened bread. It's a matter of realizing what it symbolizes, and it symbolizes coming out of the bondage of Egypt, which in other places we'll realize is a representation of the bondage to our physical natures, our sinfulness. Leaving Egypt is the escape plan for leaving the world of sin. Deuteronomy 16, verses 3 and 4. Deuteronomy 16. You shall eat no leavened bread with it. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread therewith, even the bread of affliction. For you came forth out of the land of Egypt in haste, that you may remember the day when you came forth out of the land of Egypt, all the days of your life. This remembrance is to be an ongoing process. The experiences of leaving Egypt involved unleavenedness. They didn't eat unleavened bread all through the wilderness years. It was just coming out of Egypt. Leaven has a long history in the Bible. There are many lessons that go with it. Let's look at some in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. Verses 6, 11, and 12. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Verse 11. How is it that you do not understand that I spoke not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees? Then understood they how he bade them beware of the leaven of bread. Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You see, our theology can become leavened as well. In Mark 8:15, Mark 8, verse 15, and he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. Now, we understand about the leaven of Pharisees, but what about the leaven of Herod? Herod was not a religious person. It tells us that there is leavening also in other things, like the governments of this world and the things that they require. But these verses talk about leaven in a negative context. Mark 16, verses 6, 11, and 12. I'm sorry. No, we read that one. Matthew 13, 33 is interesting because now we have another consideration. And it speaks to the nature of leaven as opposed to the item of leaven itself. Matthew 13, verse 33. Another parable spoke he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal, till the whole was leavened. That tells us something about how leaven permeates things. Luke 13, 21. Because there's another consideration here. And it has to do with where I want to go with this message today. Luke 13, 21. I'll start in verse 20. And again he said, whereunto shall I liken the kingdom of God? It is like leaven which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Now we're considering leaven in the context, in a positive context, as it compares to the kingdom of God. There's another kind of leaven. And it can act in the same way as far as permeating the entire recipe. And it has to do with the kingdom of God. In 1 Corinthians 5, Paul speaks of leaven as well. He understood. He certainly would have understood. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8. He was speaking to a congregation that was kind of missing the point of what they were doing. He said to them, "Your glorying is not good. Know you not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us." Paul is explaining to the Corinthians the importance of becoming unleavened, both physically, we would say, but certainly spiritually. Galatians 5:9. Galatians 5:9. This lesson is not lost on the New Testament church. Again, he repeats this, what Jesus had said earlier. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Down verse 16 to 25 in the same chapter. And here he brings out a new consideration in this subject, where he says, and this is Galatians 5:16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would." In other words, there's some kind of obstruction to doing what we would naturally do. And when we understand Christ's nature, this means a lot. Verse 18, "But if you be led of the Spirit, then are you not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these," and he goes on to list a whole bunch. Verse 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." We could say that is perhaps the ultimate meaning of becoming unleavened. We can become leavened with God's Holy Spirit. Do we think about that? We always consider leaven in a negative context. Let's consider the flip side of the positive context. Because bad leaven and good leaven act alike. But what do we want to be leavened with? Our own natures that we're born with? Can't avoid that. That's what we need to de-leaven ourselves of. But what about being leavened with God's Spirit? The instructions are that every day we are to include in our diet some unleavened bread. And as we do so, we need to reflect on that, on what we're doing, It's not just nourishment. We should know that. Nourishment is immaterial. Whether we eat or whether we don't. Nutritionally, it's immaterial. What it is the lesson. It's the reminder every day that we need to partake of the nature of Christ. We need to take in what He is. It would be entering the realm of the Spirit, presumably God's Spirit. There are many spirits in the world, and we're told to try the spirits, whether they are of God. They may seem to be, if we're not close to God, if we don't understand His truth, if we don't have His Spirit. There are spirits out there that we need to vet to make sure that they are of the Spirit of God. Satan's angels, Satan's ministers present themselves as angels of light. Maybe they are, maybe they're not. We need to vet them. In Philippians 2:5, we're introduced in a way to the process of becoming unleavened in our natures. Philippians 2:5, it says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." In 1 Corinthians 2:16, it says the same thing. "For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." That unleavenedness is communicating with, it is receiving the mind of Christ, the very way that he thinks. Romans 8 tells us something about our natures. Romans 8, verses 5 through 7 and verse 27. Verse 5 says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." We're all born that way. "But they that are after the Spirit do mind the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." That's the natural way everyone is born. The carnal mind is enmity against God, but it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. Down to verse 27. "Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." There is a component available to us that comes from God's Spirit. God knows how to communicate the very things that we can't articulate sometimes. We have an advocate who is working for us in the unleavenedness department. Ephesians 4, verse 23. And this speaks to the unleavened condition. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." We are born with the human spirit. That human spirit has the capability of receiving God's Spirit, if we are so inclined. And if we're not, we know what happens there. So the lessons of unleavenedness teach us the nature of sin, that it's everywhere, that it's almost inescapable, and certainly on our own efforts, it's not something that we can overcome completely. But the days of unleavened bread prompt us to do an accurate self-analysis. Becoming unleavened involves self-evaluation. We should be, as we're putting sin out, as we're putting leaven out, we should be thinking about our own natures. Are we unleavened spiritually? 1 Corinthians 11 tells us what we need to be doing at this season of the year. Verse 28. But let every man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. We are to examine ourselves. It's easy to examine somebody else, but it's tough to be honest with ourselves. Ephesians 4:1, the unleavened walk. Ephesians 4. And Paul is speaking from some rather unpleasant circumstances. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love. That is the expression of unleavenedness. The days of unleavened bread allow us to get our spiritual bearings. John 6:55 through 58. For my bread is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. But he that eats my flesh and drinks my blood dwells in me, and I in him. Now we've got to look at that and say that can't be talking about anything physical. It has nothing to do. It's not in the symbols. But it symbolizes a relationship with our Creator, with Jesus Christ, that is very, very profound. As the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eats me, even he shall live by me. For this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eats of this bread shall live forever. There is obviously a deep spiritual meaning to the unleavened bread that may have been illustrated in the example of manna, but did they get it? Did they understand? Certainly not to the degree that we can. There is a connection between these physical elements and our spiritual perceptions. The emphasis in these days is to change our orientation. When we're looking, we should ask ourselves, where is the sin really? It's not in our couch cushions, it's not in the carpet, it's not in the pantry. Not real sin. Sin is an infraction of God's standards of conduct. We know that from 1 John 3:4. Sin is the transgression of the law. And I'm sure the law is broader than just 10 commandments. Sinning is a personal characteristic. We're all subject to it. We commit sin. But, more than that, we are sinners. So even if we get rid of the sin, we still have the characteristic, the tendency to sin, because we are sinners. When we walk in the Spirit, we're on a different course. So long as we're in this flesh, we live under a dual influences. The influences of our physical natures, the influence of God's Spirit, and for that matter, the influences of Satan and his society. Some leaven is external. We read about the scribes and the Pharisees and Herod. And then there's another kind of leaven that is to be diligently sought after. These days provide us the opportunity to get reoriented annually, because there's always the tendency in our natures to drift back, to drift away. It can be subtle. We can just become lax, not really remain diligent as we ought to. But the days of unleavened bread remind us annually. The whole substance of these days is to reawaken us to our own spiritual condition. We have 7 days of self-analysis, 7 days of imitating Christ, 7 days of partaking of His mind. We are what we are. This is the battle. This is what we have to do. And without continual reminders, we would forget. Hopefully, we won't forget.